there's something undefinable that beckons travelers back to the greater Fort Myers area in southwest Florida year after year. It feels like bare feet on soft white sand beaches that give way to gently lapping waves. It looks like the breathtaking abundance of wildlife, colorful birds, dolphins, manatees, and more, dwelling in lush mangrove ecosystems and translucent Gulf waters. It tastes like fresh coastal cuisine served at sunset at a waterfront restaurant. What will draw you back to Fort Myers? Go to visitfortmyers.com for more inspiration.
Bro, who would have thought I would get along with? Bro, they know me, bro. I don't with no one.
Nah, you.
Like, we get along.
I'm a nice guy.
You're not weird.
Welcome to the New York Times podcast. Like, you are Perfume V. Timms of music, news, and criticism. Actually, it's Perfume like, and Timms.
I'm keeping it that.
I'm your host, John Caramonica.
Who are them no matter where the f*** you put them.
But you know what? You just got to be what you're into. You're into.
And you
is.
Are a geek.
Well.
Like, you are a goop stick dork f***. And it's so fire. Like, you collect, you have a beard and a Rolex, and you collect f***.
Oh, you're listening to the conversation between Tyler, the creator, and Funkmaster Flex that was available on Hot 97's YouTube presence late last week. 2019 has been a challenging year in a lot of ways, but I have not been as personally happy in this calendar year as I was watching the Tyler Flex interview. And I think a lot of people felt that way. And today we are going to get deep in the business about what made this interview so unique and so special. In the room today, right across the table, in the what color is your t-shirt today? It's like not quite hot pink.
It's like a weird ocean.
It's pink. Like island pink.
Yeah,
salmon. Island pink.
Yeah, it's like salmon. That's
yeah. It's definitely wow. Yeah,
that's a
it's definitely like overcooked salmon.
Yeah,
it's like overcooked salmon. Al Pierre is here.
What's good?
Al is a staff writer at Pitchfork and a Detroit scam rapper. So welcome. Everybody put your credit cards away.
Thank you for having me. Yeah. Will not scam you.
That's what a scammer. Hopefully. That's what a scammer would say. Just yep. FYI. To my right, first time on podcast, Charles Holmes is here.
What's going on, man?
Charles is a staff writer at Rolling Stone. A lot of enthusiastic energy in the building today. Very appropriate for the subject. So okay, let's set the table about why this conversation is interesting, and then we'll kind of dive into Flex stuff first. But to me, there are many kind of like joyful kind of frictions happening in this conversation. There's generational friction. There's a kind of like aesthetic friction at play. There's the dynamic of two people who are basically always on their bullshit in a room with another person who's also always on his bullshit. And like kind of there's no one's giving in. Like there's no person that's like, okay, I'm just going to let you win. Like it's your room. That never happens. What jumped out from the dynamic perspective to you guys about the conversation?
While there's friction, that's like the main thing. It's also like you have these two totally different generations, these two guys who absolutely believe and love in radio.
Mm.
With like their whole heart in a place that probably your normal person would just not.
Yeah.
And for so many years, Tyler, the creator, has trolled Hot 97. Like, this isn't his first, like, time in the building. This isn't his first freestyle. But I feel like this was, like, the final boss after you go through, like, Peter Rosenberg
hey!
And Ebro.
Shout out Peter Rosenberg. Shout out
you
Ebro.
You finally get Funk yeah. Flex.
It's like that, the 10th Mortal Kombat level.
Yeah, this was the Avengers Endgame of Tyler and Hot 97. Mm. Like, he finally gets to go against the guy.
And again, it's funny because, like, obviously in the setup at the beginning of the video, they're kind of explaining how it happened. And this is Tyler's request. This isn't Flex's request. This is Tyler saying to, like, whoever the functionary at Columbia Records is, like, I'd like to go on Flex. And, like, some Columbia Records functionary, like, then goes and, like, secures the interview for him. So it is, but it is Tyler. It's worth noting that this is a proactive choice that Tyler is making. He wants in the room.
Tyler cries when he hears himself on the radio. Even interviews of him saying, like, I'll never get on the radio. So I understand why that was, like, he's not doing many interviews, but, like, Funk Flex, he's finally, like, all right, before I, like, go any further in my career, we got to get this out of the way.
I think that's like what's so interesting about it is because Tyler is so like fascinated by Flex.
Yeah.
They're like curious about each other. Like Flex doesn't really trust what Tyler's intentions are. And Tyler thinks that Flex is going to be like this like super, I mean, which he is like the super like macho, just like old school New York street rap dude. It's like, he's like, oh, you were in Odd Future. I had these thoughts about Odd Future. You wear colorful clothes and you rap about like these things that I normally wouldn't go to rap for.
Right.
And so there, it's almost just like a wrestling match where at first, the first 10 minutes, basically just them like sparring and just like grappling with each other, trying to figure out if like, if they're who they actually think they are.
It's literally, and I say this in a positive sense, it's like when Harry met Sally. It's literally like, it's literally like a meet cute in a romantic comedy, or like You've Got Mail, where it's like, there's a person who, like, is the big boss and then the person who's, like, sort of living in the outside space and they, like, hate each other. And they're like, ah, I can't believe I got it. But then when they find them, they actually sing together. It turns out we both love books.
I would watch a rom-com with Tyler.
Absolutely.
And Flex.
Yeah. If so, if there's not currently a screenwriter working on that script, there should be.
Oh.
Take this as a nudge to all screenwriters if you're listening. Like, please.
Oh,
I'd like
please,
to
somebody hire me Netflix. Cut the check right now.
Exactly. There's definitely like a, I don't know if it's a Netflix bag, maybe like a Quibi bag coming.
At the Paramount Network.
You know? Yes, it's out there. Or maybe 50 Cent. Maybe it'll come under the power. Maybe it'll be like
Stars the power umbrella. Up,
yeah, seriously. So let's talk about the mythology of Flex, because obviously one of the main parts of this interview that's so fascinating is the slow kind of like chiseling away at the kind of hard exterior of Flex's mythos. So Flex has been on the radio in New York for, I mean, somewhere between 25 and 30 years. Used to carry records, I think, for DJ Red Alert. Like, this is a person who is as foundational a figure in New York rap and New York rap's self-conception as almost anybody. Like, has been on Hot 97 before Hot 97 was really a rap station. So, very, very important figure. What did you guys think about the version of Flex that's happening in the interview? And for those of you who have not seen it, it's a video interview. Like, it's done in the radio station, but it's a video interview. So you're seeing all the reactions, all the facial reactions, which is why it's so fascinating. But what did you guys think about kind of like how Flex came in that room, and then what was he presenting, and then how did it sort of evolve over the course of the 90-some-odd minutes?
I know my interpretation of Flex. I grew up with Flex. Just like when I think of Flex, I think of like riding through Brooklyn in the back of my dad's car, just him dropping bombs on like Jadakiss records and Fabulous records. Like that's what I think of. That's what I think of when I think of Flex. And when Flex,
when you come to my house and you open the door, just there's a bomb drop. It's just like, it just happened.
And the crazy thing about Flex is when he plays music, he's like not really playing music.
No.
He's kind of just like talking over it and making sure that he's telling you that he's the greatest DJ ever. That
he's like talking at the record.
That whoever's
he's like
talking
scolding
about
the record.
Like, which is like a wild thing to do on the radio. And that's kind of how I always thought of Flex. But when you see him here with Tyler, it's almost like his personality is a little bit lighter.
Yeah.
A little bit more fun, a little bit not as self-serious. Yeah. And maybe he's not taking himself as seriously as he once did. Because before, Flex is, he's, I'm the guy. I'm the one, I'm the New York rap gatekeeper. And there's almost some sort of self-awareness that's sort of taking over him, like, later in his DJing career that wasn't always there.
A lion in winter, Funkmaster Flex.
You can tell, and I think this interview could not have happened a decade ago because it's him, like, he doesn't have that power anymore that he once did. So it's him kind of meeting Tyler halfway without even knowing it. Cause you start seeing the breakdown of, he starts whole interview with this like inane story about meeting Earl Sweatshirt. And it's just like, what? Like, but then slowly but surely, he's even commenting like, Tyler, you're trying to charm the room. Tyler, what are you doing?
You're disarming the room. You're
disarming. And you just see him kind of like melting in front of Tyler. And I just think that's what made it beautiful. Cause you see this guy who is no longer a gatekeeper, kind of just happy to just let it go. He's like, oh, man, just let Tyler have.
And also, like, obviously, like, Flex doesn't, when he does those freestyles, which are designed to live on YouTube, he's not always interviewing those people. He's just providing the platform. So he can kind of remain the unchallenged authority figure because he's never really in dialogue with, you know, like I was rewatching the A Boogie and Don Q one, like the Don Q verse. And it's like one of my favorite verses of that year. Then in that freestyle, A Boogie is terrible. But like, but like the Don Q verse is really, really good. But like, you know, Flex is just going to be there. He's just going to be like this, like, mean, and just like roll his chair across the room. You know, he's not really conversing with folks. But in this interview, like, you could tell it's like getting a new toy. It's like, oh, what is this? How is this made? Like, I don't really understand it. It's interesting because, you know, Flex does a thing. This is a thing that I think Ebro does as well. And we're talking about gatekeepers. There is this kind of like, yeah, like what you do is all right, but can you come to New York? There's a little bit of that. And that's like, Ebro definitely gives that energy in interviews, and Flex, to the degree that he talks to people, I think still gives that energy. But Charles, I think you're right in that Flex does not actually have that kind of authority. Radio is not as important as it used to be. New York is not as important as it used to be. Evening mix shows are not as important as they used to be. And I think Flex, I think of Flex as like a carny, you know, he's like a, you know, that's, he's basically just like New York rap carny. And it's not to diminish what he's good at, but or diminish his sort of authority in that chair. But ultimately, what he's useful for is like when he's breaking, you know, the diss. You know, Tyler talks about when Pusha put out the Drake diss. Tyler hearing it on air and like Flex dropping bombs and running it back and dropping more bombs. Da da da. That's Flex's performance. He's like literally a performer of hip hop theatrics. Which is like a totally fine thing to be.
Flex premiering Otis was better than the actual Otis.
Absolutely.
Just him running back, like just the bombs. Like I was just like, I heard it on the radio and it's like, this is the best song ever. And I heard it on the CD and I was like, oh, this was not as good as I once thought it was.
Everything sounds better with Flex Bomb.
I mean, I was in the car when he did that. And I just remember I kept driving because I was like, I'm close to my house, but it doesn't matter. I'm just going to keep driving until he's done doing whatever the fuck he's doing. I'm just going to go and go and go. Because that, especially growing up in New York, like that is how we have learned to process important rap moments. I mean, this is where regionalism does count for something. Like, I'm not trying to knock LA radio or Detroit radio or Atlanta radio, but I just don't know if there's an equivalent relationship or an equivalent figure in those cities. I don't want to get emails from people who live in LA that like start telling me how important Big Boy is. Like, I don't want those emails. Just FYI.
But there's a reason.
Do not
like,
email me at podcast.
Pusha T went, like, Pusha T's diss would not have done what it did without going to Flex, because Flex is just the biggest, just like he hypes up anything and everything, and he makes everything seem like a cosmic event.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was very funny that when he's interviewing Tyler, he's dealing with somebody who can do that as well.
Yeah.
And it's funny to me that like Flex like never realized, I'm like, Tyler is a very, like Tyler comes from like, he's one of the last guys who's just really, really good at the art of rapping.
Mm-hmm.
So why this took so long, I don't even know.
Because, I mean, look, Tyler always has positioned himself as someone like pushing against the strictures of contemporary hip hop in a bunch of different ways, whether it's aesthetic or cultural or not regional in a sense, but like he wanted to create his own universe. He didn't want to become successful on the terms of the hip hop that he was presented with. He wanted to create his own universe. Part of that is because he's such an intensely charismatic figure and kind of can like carry an entire micro movement on his back. And that's a thing that I think Flex is only notionally aware of. Because Flex basically is like, I've never listened to your music. I never gave you music. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home. I'm going to listen to your new project. And I'm going to get behind one song. Like, as if that matters. Like, that doesn't matter. Like,
he's, not breaking he's not breaking Earthquake.
No,
like, he's
no,
like,
there's no.
If you gave Earthquake to like Flex, he wouldn't even know what to do.
Exactly.
He'd hear Playboi Carti's verse and be like, this is trash.
Yeah.
And cut it the record.
But that's how Flex still thinks about music.
Right.
Like, he was telling Tyler, I'm a nightclub guy. I go in there and I play the singles and I play whatever's hot and I react to what people want to hear. That's kind of what Flex has always been.
Speaking of Earthquake, let's listen to it. Maybe Flex will listen to it and drop a bomb on it. Don't leave.
Don't leave. bitch, you make my earthquake.
I don't want no conversation, no. You don't want my conversation. I just need some confirmation on how you feel.
I remember I was listening to Flex like last week on the radio, and he was playing like Bad Bunny. I'm like, does Flex is Flex actually going home at night, like putting on his robe or whatever he does and throwing on Bad Bunny? But he gave the credits like Bobby Trends and like right. DJ. He's like,
he was like, if your Coneo isn't Malo, I don't want to hear about it.
I heard Flex at a Pusha T concert put on Drake 3 times because he just wanted, like, the crowd started booing him.
Yeah.
And he was just like, all right, I'm just going to keep doing it. Like, mm-hmm. he's not, and he wasn't even like doing it in like a flashy way. Mm-hmm. He's just like, even the way he transitioned the records, I'm like, wait, how are you a nightclub DJ?
Yeah.
Like, you don't care what
this is where we have to briefly sidebar about the potentially dubious actual DJing skills of Funkmaster Flex. Like, I have been, in my many years of going to parties and events, I've been in a number of rooms where Flex has arrived on the turntable and the rhythm of the room, like, radically changes.
John, we were in the same place once when that happened.
Where was it?
The Little TJ concert in October.
Oh, my God.
And Funk Flex comes out.
True.
Everybody in the crowd's like 16 years old, yeah. just waiting for Little TJ. And he's probably the only person in stage that is over 21, and
yeah.
he's about 30 years older than everybody.
Mm.
And he comes up there and looks at the crowd and just starts playing 6ix9ine records.
Unreal.
And I'm like, unreal. I'm looking at Flex. You could see the pain in his eyes.
Yeah.
He's not saying a word.
Yeah.
And he's just there just spinning 6ix9ine records. And the crowd's like, they're kind of into it, but then they look at Flex and see who's playing it, and Flex is just there.
Also, like, Flex, that's like a perfect example where Flex, in his mind, he's like, this is what New York sounds like. And literally, it is not what New York sounds like. Like, actually, that is factually not true.
Did Flex know who Lil TJ was?
I'm not sure if he did.
No.
I've spoken to Lil TJ about that. What's the relationship between you and Flex? And he was just like, I'm not really sure either. which was like a wild thing for me to hear. I was just like, huh.
But also, an interesting thing that comes up, and actually, I didn't get to include it in my piece, but I do think it was kind of revealing in the Flex Tyler conversation. There are, I want to say, 2 or 3 moments throughout the interview where Flex basically indirectly implies that he's late on records, that he basically waits for people to tell him, like, oh, this thing is happening or this thing is bobbing. So he basically is implicitly saying, I don't break records anymore. Like, I read the room. I'm an early adopter. It's like, you guys watch Shark Tank?
Oh, love it.
You know when Rohan is up there and he's like, oh, I've never had an idea in my life, but what I do is build power brand. Like, you know, that's like Flex. Like, Flex is basically like, I never heard of Lil Tecca or whoever. And then, like, it got to a point and then I decided that, you know, like, I anointed Lil Tecca or whoever, Lil TJ.
And he brings it back all the way to, like, Protect Your Neck he was talking about.
Yes, where he was late on Protect Your Neck. Which is, like, an insane thing. It's 25 years ago. We will forget. Like, no one will remember if you were first, second, or fifth on Protect Your Neck. Like, none of us remember. So you could just own it. You could just be like, yeah, I was early on that. But even he was still, he was, like, basically, like, I didn't know. I had to wait for someone to tell me, which I thought was like for a person who's like a self-appointed tastemaker, it was kind of like a strange thing. It was like, I thought that was like weirdly very vulnerable of him to admit, even if I'm not sure he was totally aware that he was being vulnerable.
Yeah, he compared Wu-Tang to, that's how I viewed Odd Future. They were like Wu-Tang and that. They were just like some movement that he didn't understand and that he only played because other people in New York were playing it, which is a weird thing to admit.
Very strange. Also, I thought it was funny how, as someone who interviewed Tyler, like, very, very, very early on, like, I know how upset those kind of conversations, like, made Tyler when he was, like, an 18-year-old or a 19-year-old. So it's funny for Tyler to just kind of be in the room, like, I understand now. I'm like, nah, man, you don't really.
Very funny, like, going back and watching them. I think it was their first interview. Like, it was just all of Odd Future in a room with Rosenberg. And you can obviously tell that they're just, like, there's these kids who just don't take it seriously.
At all.
And Rosenberg is very much just like, yeah, I'm in on this. And I'm like, dude, no, you're not. And not, like, that station has not changed. Like, that energy has not changed in the last, like, what, almost decade?
It's strange because you would think, I mean, hip-hop has changed so much in the last 10 years. So you would think that, like, the structure of something like Hot 97 or the kind of approach to the genre would, like, be more malleable. But it's, like, weirdly not. I you know, as someone who's older, I'm, like, sort of find the stubbornness kind of charming in a way. Like, I'm just like, it's just like it was when I was in high school. It's fine. You know, it's great. It never changes. But, like, I can understand if you were, like, a 17-year-old just being like, the hell are these dudes talking about? Like, why does every DJ look like a linebacker? You know, like, why is just, like, there's no, except Drewski or whatever. But you know what I mean? Like, there's no kind of, like, young, interesting, slightly to the left figure. And you would think, like, there would be. But, like, there's just – because hip-hop has moved in that direction. But there just isn't. We should play the part where – it's right at the beginning where Flex realizes that Tyler is, like, not playing the game. That, like, no, basically, that Flex starts to realize he's not in charge.
My brother, I've been feeding rappers bullshit for 25 years, so there is no routine I've never seen. So
I'm not doing anything.
Look, wait.
You're not even a cop.
Wait.
Why do I feel like this? I have not.
Wait.
This is ludicrous, bro. I don't even.
I'm gonna put this guy. He's top 10. Clever. Top 10. Top 10.
I've been with you for 30 minutes.
It don't take me long to read nothing. It doesn't take me long. See?
So obviously, one of the things that's really fascinating about this conversation is Tyler really does not know how to be anyone but Tyler. And Flex really does not know how to be anyone but Flex. And so it becomes this, like, test of wills in the beginning of, like, I'm going to be the most me I can be. And I'm going to be the most me. And then at a certain point, someone starts to give. And bizarrely, the person who gives is Flex, which is strange. It's his home turf. It's his studio. It's his floor. But he starts to give. Why do you think that is?
I think I started noticing it in the interview when, out of nowhere, Tyler just starts talking about, like, how he doesn't believe in college.
Oh, my God.
But he kind of wanted to go to college. And there's this thing. And then Flex starts talking about his kids.
Yeah.
And it's, like, this kind of, like, Flex kind of turns at Tyler and he realizes, oh, like, I'm the father figure in this.
That's,
like,
true.
I'm, like, and that's when I think he starts getting disarmed by the charm, because he realizes, like, oh no, like, I have kids that are like Tyler at home. And it was this weird back and forth of, like, Tyler wanting to be, like, this gruff troll about college. And then you kind of sing at one point him being like, but yeah, I wish I could have, like, smoked and, like, drank and had sex with anybody I want. I miss that.
Yeah.
And I think that's when it dawned on Flex, like, oh, this isn't gonna be like what I thought it was going to be like.
And also the marriage thing.
Yeah.
The same, marriage those thing goes back, those two segments are back to back. And Tyler, you know, Tyler's 28, unmarried, and Flex is divorced. And I think in hearing how Tyler talked about marriage, Tyler's like, marriage is dumb. Why would you like someone so much you want the government involved?
And Flex is like apologizing, like,
to his girl. Yeah. Right. Let's play the Tyler rant about marriage here.
So you're not married. You're not married.
No. Marriage is dumb. Marriage is so dumb.
Wait, I'm going to give you a pound, but I just don't let anybody see it.
Bro.
Okay, cool.
You talking, you literally.
I'm divorced.
A million people, and you're like, oh, I want that for 50 years. You guys are dumb. Like, actually dumb. Then you're going to waste all this money.
Marriage is canceled this year.
Then you're going to inconvenience your friends to drive to the middle of nowhere and have to stress to get a suit and gifts because y'all like each other a lot. You.
Yeah. They might get divorced in 2 years.
And then they're going to get, then it's going to be messy. Like you like each other so much that you want to get the government involved. Idiot, you're
and
dumb.
Two lawyers. Well, you're young,
and
you
then,
got time. You
and
got
then,
time.
Like, oh, like when people be like, we've been married for 20 years, and people are like, congrats. I'm like, that's so sad you missed out on life.
He says he really
20
missed,
years and
really
you didn't
to,
f- someone else.
He really
everyone
missed
should
out
cheat.
On
everyone should cheat. I think couples should cheat.
Okay,
cheat
listen,
week.
Bruh, Maria.
Everyone should have a cheat.
Maria,
week.
I just met this. Today, I don't want you to think we're hanging out tonight.
Everyone should have.
Wow! Wait, man, we gotta have signs before you. Like, yo, I'm getting ready to jump off the bridge. Like,
so I think when Flex sees that, obviously he's trying to distance himself. Like, he's, you know, this is one of those moments where they're literally having two separate conversations side by side. Like, Flex is addressing his girlfriend who's like not in the building. He's just like, Maria, like, I'm not hanging out with this dude. Like, we not going out afterwards. I'm coming home tonight. Like, you know, they're having these sort of one conversation, but also two conversations. But also, it's basically, I think what you're saying is right. Like, it's Flex kind of like understanding that his suite of life experiences is just very different than Tyler's suite of life experiences, and that that's not a liability. If anything, it like creates an opportunity for some kind of bridge building between them.
Tyler will be Flex in like 20 years, Woo! Which is the very funny Woo! Thing about it. Like, that's who I envision Tyler becoming. Just a guy like yelling at, like punching at the wind.
about Wait, I'm pretty sure he's already doing
Don't
that.
Don't let Tyler hear that. No, but like, even in that interview, I feel like Tyler flips it on Flex, because we learn more about Flex than we do Tyler.
Definitely.
And that's probably the most I've ever learned about Flex in one sitting, because usually Flex is just all in his character promoting whatever Flex event he has coming up this weekend or whatever.
I'm going to be in Mount Vernon on Sunday.
That's all he does, Thursday.
Promo, I see you. I see you. My man Viv L., big parties in Jersey. I see you.
That's all Flex does, just promote that stuff. But there we learned that he played baseball in high school. We learned about his infatuation with cars.
Sly collects cars. Like Charlie Little. My gosh.
You wore lugs, didn't you?
That was great.
Really, I have no idea what slot cars are still, by the way, even though Flex was trying to explain them to Tyler.
We should check the Google Trends on searches for slot cars around Thursday night or Friday, where I'm sure there's a bunch of
stuff. I like how Tyler just like nods at Flex and just gives him like these blank stares every time Flex is trying to explain like something from his past. And Tyler doesn't really get it, but he's just like, yeah, that's hot. Or
that's horny.
The best part of the freestyle to me is just like Tyler being like, yo, Flex, give me a topic. And Flex goes, cars. And he just goes, vroom, vroom. Like, it's just like that play of just like Flex, I don't think at any point in that conversation, like, was prepared or knew what to do.
No.
Like, it's just totally just like, all right, just let this kid go.
No, but it's funny because, like, okay, so as journalists, right, like, I would never go into an interview unprepared, right? Like, I would never sit with a person if I had not watched their movies, listened to their music, absorbed their playwriting, whatever it is. You just wouldn't do it. It's bad form. Obviously, Flex is not a journalist, and Flex is basically like, I am royalty and I'm granting you an audience with me. So it doesn't matter if I've ever listened to a single record you've ever made. So I like the notion that Flex is kind of like, why would I ask you anything? I don't know anything about, like, I don't know anything about you, and I don't care to know anything about you. But there is that moment where I guess they had had a conversation maybe just before the videotaped conversation.
Yeah.
And they were talking about like Tyler's influences. So he was talking about like liking Neo Soul and sort of like Jeanne and Coffee Brown and all this other stuff. Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, to be fair, I do think that's what Tyler was listening to. Wait, did you tweet that he was listening to Brown Sugar at 4?
That's one of the songs, that's one of the albums he mentioned. He was like at like 3, 4, 5 listening to Brown Sugar, and that's just BS. There is no 4-year-old that's coming home and telling their mom to like throw on Brown Sugar, listen to D'Angelo.
What
if
mom's
whisper.
Had it on the house?
I also want to be very fair about what you just said. My main gripe with New York radio, pretty much all radio, but it's especially New York. I don't care if it's Charlamagne, Ebro, Flex, Envy, any of them. They never listen to the music of the person coming up. They don't do any research. There are times when they'll ask questions that are so embarrassing that I'm just like, yo, you could have literally done anything. You could have read their Wikipedia in 5 minutes and been more prepared than you are right now. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, that's probably still my main gripe with them, because as radio, still vastly popular, but as it loses ground, how can you still have that pompous attitude like, I don't even need to listen to you. I don't need to know anything about you. This is an honor that you're even sitting next to me.
Yeah, it's like they're asking them, why should I care about you? And basically, you ask me questions.
Yeah, no, it's this test. No, and that's the thing. That's sort of what I sort of fundamentally dislike about how these radio personalities in New York do handle artists from other, sort of artists from other generations and artists from other locations. Because it presumes that they are only valid if they pass the smell test of like these particular people who are informed like strictly just by like boom bap records from the 90s, as if like that is, I mean, it's like, then just go, if that's what you like, go listen to like
Rock Marciano or Your Old Droog or like Mac Homie or something. You know what I mean? Like, if that's what you're into, there's plenty of music like that.
Do you think Flex is listening to like Rock Marciano?
No, but I'm saying if that's what he cares about, I think he would quite enjoy Rock Marciano. Can I recommend Flex, if you're listening, can I recommend that you listen to Rock Marciano? I think you'd quite enjoy it.
I think Flex would like it.
I think he would too. If we hear a Rock Marci song with a bomb dropped on it like 3 days from now, we're going to know. We did that.
Please don't flex. I'm turning the radio off.
While we're on the subject of Rock Marciano, we're going to play something off of Mark Berg. I just Googled my Mark Berg review, and the headline on the page is debuts from Rock Marciano and Miranda Cosgrove. So, you know, I was bringing that straight heat in 2010. So let's play something off Mark Berg. Let's listen to It's a Crime.
I got my eyes on you. Ties are ordered, lines are snorted, eyes watered. Guys saw some fives in the quarters, hitting y'all corners. Rising on them like high waters. My supporters, a side call of hope, steady eyeballing. Coke with the arm and him and they the pop balling. Hot coke, 45, 9 Taurus. Cops is on us. Niggas out kicking up top saw. Looking glass on them, but not warring.
Craft matters in small ways, like how coffee is made or how a wooden table is built piece by piece. And in not so small ways, like how your money is cared for. At UBS, we elevate investing to a craft. We deliver our services with passion, expertise, and meticulous attention to detail. This is what investing means to UBS. Not just work, but a craft. Discover more at ubs.com/craft. The value of investments may fall as well as rise, and you may not get back the amount originally invested.
I'm Julie Turkowitz. I'm a reporter at the New York Times. I have been trying to understand changes in migration. So I traveled with photographer Federico Rios to the Darien Gap, this hot, mountainous, 70-mile stretch of jungle straddling the border of Colombia and Panama.
We're hiking through a river, just like covered in mud.
Many used to think that this route was impassable, but thousands have been risking their lives to pass through the Darien, almost all in the hopes of making it to the United States. We spent 9 days hiking through the gap and weeks building trust and relationships with migrants, with smugglers, with migration authorities to even be able to do this reporting. We interviewed hundreds of people who have made this journey to try and grasp what's making them go to these lengths to find a new life. New York Times journalists spend time in these places to help you understand what's really happening there. You can support this kind of journalism by subscribing to the New York Times.
About halfway through, so Flex starts to break down. His walls start to break down. And about halfway through, like, you see Tyler kind of being like, this guy's not bad. What does he say at one point? He's like, you don't stink. What is it that you think that Tyler sees in Flex? Because we've talked a little bit about what Flex sees in Tyler. What is it about what Tyler sees in Flex that makes him? Because as someone that's interviewed Tyler a couple times, I've been around him, I know that Tyler like doesn't warm up to people easily. And he even says when he came into the interview, like, I thought you were going to be an asshole. I thought you were a piece of shit. Like, da, 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 da. Like, he was ready for, I don't know about war, but he was ready for an icy face-off. So what happened?
I think it's the fact that both of them are immovable. Like, Flex believes what Flex believes. It doesn't have to be rooted in fact. Like, Flex still thinks that he's the most important DJ in the United States, and you cannot tell him differently. And I think Tyler still has that same – he think like, to do what Tyler has done, he thinks he's the most important artist of his generation. Mm-hmm. Like, he thinks that he's the next coming of Pharrell. Yeah. And I think that when Tyler meets people, he probably does not meet that many people who are like him. That's why I feel like it's him looking at what inadvertently will be himself, because you can't move either of them.
Yeah. But you should probably, before we move forward, I have to ask both of you, how many pieces of golf wearing clothing do you guys own?
Zero.
Zero.
Okay.
Thankfully.
I own multiple pieces of golf line clothing and also an original Free Earl shirt.
Wow.
An original.
That's bold.
Like,
I thought Odd Future. When were you in high school?
John has his donut socks on right now, actually.
I thought Odd Future was the wackest shit in high school. Oh, I was so mad, yo. I was like, this is
horrible. What were you into then?
What was I into in high school? Nah, man, I'm not going to.
And you're this wearing a Paramore t-shirt, dog. Like, so what's the, it was, speak your truth.
Oh, Paramore, Fall Out Boy, Panic at the Disco, huge.
Real rap like Fall Out Boy.
Yeah. Best rapper alive, Pete Wentz.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Odd Future was like super whack, so I can't even, like, I can't even be mad at Flexer being like, nah, I'm not. Did you like Odd Future?
I didn't like Odd Future. It took me a while. I was not like one of those kids that was like in school with his Free Earl shirt on, talking about come back from Samoa or wherever you are. Yeah. I was probably listening to like Drake and Kid Cudi, right? Meek Mill.
Drake, yeah, Kid Cudi, all of them. That's why I also don't think that, like, as much as we're like, oh, Flex doesn't listen to Tyler. Like, when would Flex have gotten into Tyler?
Look, to be honest though, Earl, not Tyler, but Earl, early Earl. Insane technical rapper, like just a tremendous someone who had clearly imbibed the East Coast rap tradition that Flex presents himself as a kind of like arbiter or protector of. So you would think that if Flex had ever heard anything off of like the original Earl tape, he might have been like, oh, this sounds like some 94, some 95. This, you know, the Odd Future kids hated the horrorcore tag, but there were things that they were doing that were like very consistent with like some of the dirtier aspects of New York rap circa like 92 to 95. And Flex, having been a person who was on the radio in that era and certainly in those clubs and at those concerts, you would think would listen to it and say, oh, I get it. Even if it's not a direct reference to that, I understand the impulses. You would think. But
first, he just saw an Earl. I think like he begins and it was amazing because I'm like, I would never imagine anybody would become a fan after seeing Earl live. That's not saying he's a bad live performer.
I agree.
But I don't think that that's his strength. His strength is like you put on the CD, like it's super intricate. You throw it back, like you're like, piecing it out.
Did Earl play the Garden? Like, did I miss a show where Earl played the Garden?
I don't remember that.
When he said that, I was just like, Earl played the Garden? Like the
Brooklyn Botanical Garden?
Also, what was like Flex? I need to
Google. We're gonna do some live Googling on podcast this week. Let's see.
You saw Earl live recently. Like, what is it like to see Earl live in 2019?
It's like a very intense experience, just him rapping bars at you nonstop.
Oh my God.
What?
Oh my God, this is actually better than I could have even anticipated. May 30th, 2019, Madison Square Garden, Anderson .Paak. So I'll take a moment.
The dust.
Earl sweatshirt and Thundercat.
Is Flex pulling up to that show?
Not apparently. Not only did he pull up to that show, but he stood side stage, crossed his arms, turned his fitted to the side, and gave a skeptical look and thought Earl moved the crowd.
What crowd is Earl moving?
I don't know.
I like Earl, just saying.
Yes. If anybody was at Thursday, May 30th, 2019, if you were at this concert, which I did not know existed, email me at podcast@nytimes.com and tell me if Earl Sweatshirt moved this crowd. And more to the point, tell me if he moved it more than Anderson .Paak.
It was also funny that, like, Flex was just, like, he kind of admitted he kind of a low-key blackballed, like, Odd Future. Because, like, Earl or Tyler said something about,
the
like,
Jay-Z
a J album.
Being overrated. Like, as if, like, Flex works for Roc Nation. Like, you know, like, oh, I can't believe that you dare said something crazy about, a fifth wave Jay-Z record.
He couldn't even name the J album.
He couldn't name it. But it's so funny.
He didn't even know if it was Tyler or Earl.
He didn't even know if it was, like, Magna Carta or, Kingdom Come. I'm like, Flex, why? He's still mad.
There was like two albums it could have been. It was either Magna Carta or 444.
I don't think it was 444 because Tyler at some point says that he liked 444. Yeah, so I think it had to be Magna Carta.
But also, this is like what? How many years removed from like Jay-Z even gracing Hot 97 with his presence?
Seriously.
Like, who cares?
But Flex, okay, so we should get to the point where everything really starts to explode. And this is actually, it's earlier than some of the sections that we talked about, where Flex like asserts his independence. So like, let's play the part where Flex, like, goes into, like, maximum flexness.
Okay, so in saying that, look, you just said something I want to say. So I don't take any money to play music. Reason being, I want to always be able to tell a label, a manager, and a rapper, I don't have to pick up your phone call. I don't got to take your bread. I don't need from you, and your record is trash. I live.
I just saw that live. But, he just did that in front of me, bro. What the
Wow. Wow, this guy.
Like, his lip did the snarl, the...
You notice I'm built for him, though, right? I'm built for him.
Bro, that was crazy.
Yo, do not bring Tyler up to your show. You're not built for him. You're not built for him.
He did it in like you.
Because he's working me. I'm working hard today. I'm working.
So the reason I like this segment of the conversation is like, look, we are all critics by nature in this room. We say what we feel. We say what we think. We don't usually think of radio DJs as being in that same category. You know, radio DJs, they got playlists they're working off of. Flex is playing Bad Bunny records for Lord knows why. You know, you're working within frameworks. You got advertising dollars. You got to play a certain number of songs an hour, et cetera, et cetera. But Flex wants you to know that, like, even in the midst of the strictures of being a big radio DJ, he doesn't need you. He doesn't need rappers or rappers. Man, he wants to be able to tell you, F- you.
What a lie.
Forget it's a lie for a moment. Like, let's grant Flex. Let's indulge Flex. He turns the character on. Like, he like puffs his chest out, and Tyler looks at him and gets excited because Tyler is seeing it up close. He's like, I'm seeing this live. So Flex, do you think Flex knows that Flex becomes a character when he does that?
No.
And do you think Tyler basically underscoring that to him is the first time it has ever occurred to him that he is playing a character? If even. I'm not even sure he got it.
Tyler asking, because this is probably this may be the first time anybody has come up and been like, yo, are you going to drop a bomb? Like, that's like something I would ask Flex, because he goes through this whole thing and like Tyler's like, that was you. That was the moment. This is the moment he's been hearing for his childhood. Like, if I was up, that's like meeting Flex on the street and him going into his character. Yeah, and I think that's
exactly.
That's probably the first time anybody has ever pointed out to Flex in real time, like, oh, like you put on the cape, you put on the mask.
Exactly.
And I don't think like, what?
Right. I think Flex is so deep into his self-presentation that I don't think he understands that it's character work. I was thinking about like, you know, like WWE villains and stuff. Like, it's like he's playing that role. I don't even think that he sees it that way. I think he's just like, no, this is just how I present. This is just Flex. But there is that moment where he is turning it on and Tyler is like, it's like internal film critic. It's like a film critic in the film itself being like, I'm watching you do this. And it's so fascinating because I don't know if Flex paused. Not that. I don't know. I don't know if Flex paused to say, I wonder if Tyler is correct, but he understood enough to kind of like back off it a little. Like, there was something when we were talking about like why Flex softened a little bit. I think because like he understood that Tyler was like had kind of pegged him somehow. And I think he, in order to maintain some operational control, was like, oh, we've kind of pegged me this other way, so I should maybe pivot slightly around that. That's how it felt. I'm not 100% sure if that's real, but that's how it felt.
But Tyler's fascination at Flex going into that character is what so many people who come to Flex come to him for. They want to see Flex be Funkmaster Flex, the DJ who's going to talk over tracks and to drop bombs and just be that complete Marvel supervillain that he is.
Mm-hmm.
But Flex doesn't seem to know how to tap into it all the time, and he doesn't seem to know that it is a character. And if he was able to do that, he could literally be Hot 97 Stephen A. Smith. Like, Stephen A. Smith, yes, at ESPN knows he's a character. He knows that every time I go on there, I'm cutting a promo.
Right.
I'm telling you, I'm saying the most ridiculous thing possible. But Flex doesn't seem to realize that. And when Tyler tells him, he kind of goes off in his head and he kind of takes it back a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's right. Because, and maybe that is because he's not totally self-aware of it. Although you'd think after 20 or 30, you know, I don't think Flex is like not a bright guy. Like, you would think he would realize, like, you know, he even says, like, when I go home, this all disappears. Like, I'm just, what's his real name? Like, Aston?
What is Flex's real name?
Isn't it like Aston or something?
But I think like the antithesis to this is like, remember like Nicki Minaj like a couple months ago went
Aston,
up to Flex.
Aston George Taylor Jr.
Man, it's like learning, it's like a wrestler taking off his mask.
Yeah, there you go. I said it. That's
but,
the tweet.
But But Nicki Minaj, when she went up a couple months ago, it was not like she went there and she was the aggressor. She was kind of like, yo, Flex, you did X, Y, and Z, and you see him back off. Like, that was the perfect moment when Flex can be Flex and be like, I never did it. I never paid for records, blah, blah, blah. And like, no, Nicki totally is like disarms in a different way, being like, no, I'm the alpha here. You're going to apologize to me. And he does, whereas like Tyler is in a different way. He's like, no, I need you to do this for me. Like, let's get the beast out right now.
Sure. Well, yeah, I mean, and to be fair, like, I think Nicki is like more conceptually important. You know, if Flex, as you say, needs to basically be nice to people, Nicki's a person, even though Nicki is past her most vibrant years, I think.
The Barbs,
the
are
Barbs, man. I'm sorry, I didn't co-sign this. We love you, Barbs.
Y'all can email the other two. Here, Barbs, if you want friends, you can email Al and Charles. You want me to give out your email addresses for the Barbs so you can be friends?
I'm good on that.
But he still conceptually needs Nicki in some way.
Yeah.
Although I think Flex's willingness to take on Drake at a certain point.
But the thing, the whole thing about the Drake thing was like, he was still playing Drake records while he was going
because
at Drake.
Because he had to. I mean, literally had to. I'm sure there's like memos in the Hot 97. Like, someone leaked the memos. Like, there's definitely memos that go around Emmis or whoever owns Hot 97 being like, you must play TK number of Drake records every hour. I'm sure there are. And Flex, he's on those emails. He gets those emails.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to let him do a 3-hour mix show and not play any Drake songs.
You think Flex has, like, a Hotmail account? Because I was on In Flex We Trust the other day, and that website is defunct, basically. I'm not sure. Flex is checking his email, updating it.
He has, like,
does he still
like
say so digital? Was that one
CompuServe address? Like, it's like 1137111.404 at CompuServe.com or something like that.
That was my favorite Flex era, when he was just like, basically, he's like, I invented the internet.
Yeah.
We so digital.
Yes. It's true.
He did invent it.
He did. I mean, where's the lie? So let's talk about Flirtation. Oh,
loved it. I will say, like, after a week of XXL freestyles, yo, oh man, Tyler really came and just saved. I was ready to just like just bury any type of freestyle. I don't want to hear anything. Don't talk to me about YBN Cordae at all.
Oh,
and then Tyler finally.
Oh, my gosh.
Shots fired.
Oh,
we can go into that at another time.
But then Tyler comes in, like, you can tell, like, I think we've been talking about Flex putting on the mask, Tyler kind of forcing him into this corner to, like, put on the cape.
Yeah.
And the genius of that freestyle is, like, Tyler setting up Flex is kind of this foil, and in real time, trying to push his buttons, trying to flirt a little bit. And I was so surprised because, like, Flex is this, like, I was expecting, like, pause. Mm-hmm. But Flex realizes, like, oh, this is a moment. And
do you
plays
think
into,
that? I actually don't think that. I think it was going over his head the first two or three times. I mean, look, who can say, and, like, we can watch this video 100 times and, like, and we can, like, Zapruder film the hell out of it and see different things in it. But my suspicion was the first couple of times, like, when Tyler is being like, let's go shopping. What do you like to do? I'd like, there are a couple moments, or, like, when Tyler is like, hey, I'm yours. It's just close enough to the line where I think Flex, because you know Flex is not an empathetic interviewer, right? He's not reading the texture of the person that he's talking to and then responding in kind. He's not a mirror. He's not a person who's like, you ended your sentence at a 4, so I'll pick it up at a 5. That's not how he operates. He's just like on full blast. So I'm not even sure, like, Tyler is doing like much more interesting, like, micro modulations in his conversation, in his tone, in his affect, in even like the angle, the eye contact. He's moving very rapidly, cycling through different approaches. I think Flex is not catching it the first 3 or 4 times.
I think I'm talking about, like, the climax.
Towards
the one
end.
That went viral of him, like, stretching out his arms like, whoa.
Yes.
Then finally Tyler, like, crosses the line.
Yes.
And it's just, like, performance art, because then it's another version of Flex being, like, a character. I'm like, Flex, what are you doing? Like, then Tyler looking at him and kind of, like, he has this almost, like, what did I do?
Exactly. And that's where And again, I said this in the piece I wrote, where like in the beginning where Flex is kind of accusing Tyler of like playing naive, you think like, okay, Flex, you're overstating the case. Like, he's just like he is literally just not buying into your BS.
Yeah.
Like, there's two different things. But by that point in the interview, you're like, oh, actually, you see Tyler, I mean, you literally see Tyler.
Flex was right.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You see Tyler like poking and then be like, who, me? Did I do that? No. I didn't do that. So, Flex, so the word horny comes up a bunch. That's Tyler, you know, saying that things are horny when he likes them. And then Flex is like, why would you choose that word? And I'm frankly, even at that point, I'm personally not convinced that Flex totally understands. Like, do you think Flex has heard potato salad?
Definitely not. No.
He would love potato salad. I think he'd love it. We should listen to potato salad.
Yo, now you gonna storm me from the top. Listen, shout out Harlem, man. Shout out ASAP Rocky, man. Aug in the building, man. What's good? Is that potato salad? Yo, listen. Ziggin', give me the cold shoulder. I can speak for myself. So I keep a hot waist and alligator the belt. Ain't got a belt with the holster. I ain't playing games, but got some little Ziggin' would do it. So I pass the controller. You can press the next out. Triangle your nose. Pause your life if you squares. Try to mess with my O's. Whoa. So cut the crap like shit barbers. Cause we really with the beef like cars of the gay fathers. Ziggin', we get dollars. Give them the bin baller. Exchange for them chains. I saw shiny with thick water. I got back pains. Neck heavy like whipped cream, I whip clean. And they all white, I whip cream. And cop boards and I draw a stick, I whip cream. And cop cribs, I got more space than big jeans. Y'all sleeping on me. Explain why they got dreams. I'm alien, got the laser gun with the big beam. Married to the money, my big green. No, I don't sit lean, but ride them round the rockets like, yeah, I mean, y'all niggas weak.
Did he even get the reference? Like, Tyler just throws in like this Sweden reference really quick. And
yes.
It just keeps going. And I'm just like, at that point, I'm like, yo, like, what's going on?
He really, like, the Sweden thing was like very slick right off the. So, okay. So let's jump to the freestyle. All right. First of all, why do freestyles of this nature matter? Not the Tyler thing specifically. Let's explain for those who have not watched 30 or 50 or 70 of these. In 2019, why are these relevant? If they are. Maybe they're not.
They're not as relevant as they once were, but there's still a platform you could go on and show people that, or show like the hip hop loyalists, the people who still believe in it as like a art form or whatever. As Flex would say,
yeah.
That you can rap
bars.
In that traditional style, that you can
right.
come up there and bring bars, even if it is like Flex goes into this thing about writtens and how like since like 2004, 2005, people come up, they were writtens and how that's the thing that has changed. And it's almost like this platform that you're given to show that you can spit in this traditional style that Flex holds so high.
Right. Even if like the center of what we think of is like mainstream hip hop or radio hip hop doesn't really rely on verses or versifying of this nature anymore.
Like when A Boogie comes on the radio, he's right. going to actually try to rap. He's not going right. to try to do like his like whole melodic thing. Right. He's going to go in there and try to rap. It might not work out.
But he failed.
Yeah.
We should just play. I'd like to play some of the Don Q verse from that because like that Don Q, oh man, it speaks to my soul. All right, we're going to play some of the Don Q. I probably have been waiting 2 years for the opportunity to play part
nobody
of
else has ever said that.
That's no, come on.
No, nobody else has
this
ever
is
said
Don Q. They want to hear biggest alley-oop Don Q's ever got.
He better throw down.
You supposed to keep in. Went from a trip to the book and straight to the beacon. I tell you how it's gonna play out. This shit predictable. Your main bitch and your man, she still visits you. Side bitch got knocked up, she put a kid on you. The wounds you can see, but the pain is invisible. When you hustle for nights, thugging for stripes, thinking that them fake niggas was your brothers for life. You just wanna call home, tell your mother good night. Make you wanna point a Vic out and bloody your knife. At this point, you just feeling like nothing is right. But it's a part of the game when you in love with the life. Hold your chin up proud, and I know it's getting hard for my niggas in the yard doing.
Okay, so freestyles don't really matter because they're not freestyles. And also, like, when people used to come up to Top 97 to freestyle in the 90s or whatever, you were speaking to like a very particular fan base, like New York rap radio heads who are in their cars or in their houses, like all gathered around, you know, or like not to be all old man about it, but like Stretch and Bob and people go up Stretch and Bobito and for, you know, like the big L Jay-Z freestyle, incredibly important, although I think low key a bunch of that's written. But that's been, it's part of the mythology of the type of hip hop that Flex cares about. But I don't think it really matters. And like you mentioned, Charles, the XXL freestyles last week, and like obviously none of those are freestyles in the classic sense. Well, Lil Mosey's was so bad that maybe he was freestyling.
But I think the funny thing is like, to me, freestyles used, like, when they were part of this kind of like art form or this pillar of what hip hop was, it's like a freestyle could make your career.
Yeah.
The right freestyle on a radio station, you could become Fab. You could be a Lil Nas X and you can rip a beat off BeatStars and become the biggest artist overnight. Where that used to be the freestyle, you could get signed off that.
Yeah.
And now the best thing that will happen to you with the freestyle is your Black Thought for a week. And people are like, you rapped for 24 hours. That's amazing. Like, it's just so what when you go to Flex to do these things, to me, what it is a couple blog posts and that's it.
Yes.
If you're Tyler, the Creator, you realize, oh, this is a performance art piece. It's we're going to elevate it.
And an opportunity for disruption.
Yeah.
So he disrupts it in a number of ways. He disrupts it, number one, it is mostly freestyled, or it seems largely actually freestyled. And two, the very obvious thing are the number of references to same-sex attraction sitting next to a person who maybe doesn't totally seem to understand that that's what's being rapped about, at least right off the rip. So there is the bit at the beginning about the Swedish men, and then there is the buff neck, et cetera, set of lyrics. And then I think, to be honest, in the entire interview from like the flirting to the freestyle, I might be wrong, but I think that was the actual first moment that Flex was like, huh? Like, I think he's so old man, and I think he's so, like, checking his phone and, like, screaming into the microphone that I just don't think he picked up on the things that happened prior to that. I could be wrong. Flex, if you're listening, send me an email. You could tell me. But, like, my sense was the first, or certainly, like, first genuine moment of, oh, I see what's happening here, came at that moment. What did you guys think when you were watching this unfold?
Oh. What, like, I thought it was beautiful.
It's breathtaking.
I was just like, this is like the most entertaining. Like, you've said it in a year of like just music in general that's kind of been whatever. This was like, oh, this is the feeling I want of just like chaos. It almost felt like anything could happen. Like, I was like going back, rewinding it, and be like, oh man, they need an entire show of this.
I mean, I don't use the word breathtaking lightly. Like, I was watching it like, not able to breathe. Like, it was that good. And I was worried that if I breathed, I would miss something. Like, it was that good, and it was happening on such a microsecond to microsecond scale. It was, I mean, somewhere in the piece, I have the word gobsmacked. And I remember my editor was like, we should take this out. And I was like, no, I was actually gobsmacked. That's like an actual reflect, like a picture of me watching it. It would have been the dictionary picture of gobsmacked. Like, that's real.
I mean, Flex is like legitimately shocked at like first when Tyler, after that first, the butt line.
Yeah.
Can you say that?
You say, yeah, we can go.
But Flex is originally like pretty shocked. And then by the end, it kind of seems like he's warm to Tyler in a way, and like the way he's coming at him. And the way he just keeps doing it, and he's just, like, laughing in almost disbelief that he's just still there and experiencing that. Because maybe 10 years ago, Flex,
I don't know. Shut the mic down.
Flex might have walked out, like, 10 years ago.
There's a point, I think it's right after that line, where Flex is like, what made you say that, or why?
Whoa, why'd you say that? Why'd you go there?
And to Tyler's eternal credit, he doesn't look at Flex. He's just looking off into the ether, trying to come up with a line, and he just keeps going. And this, I in my piece, I was like, you know, sort of like staring into like the heteronormative abyss and like not flinching. Because that's the moment where the power dynamic could shift back, where Flex can basically be like, okay, thanks for coming. Like, so great we had this conversation. Like, please, you know, don't let the door hit you on the way out. But Tyler, like, doesn't even engage with Flex at that point and just continues to keep going. And I just thought it was like, I thought it was very emotionally moving. I was very moved.
Do you think the traditionalist in Flex was also a little surprised that, like, Tyler is, like, going off the dome?
Yeah.
A lot of the rhymes are not good, but he breaks out into, like, raps where I'm like, oh, that was pretty good.
And there's two-bar stretches, four-bar stretches
that are
good.
Yeah, and he's kind of like, Flex, I almost feel like there's the whoa, like, what is he saying? But also kind of like, is he really just freestyling? Because he doesn't see that
right.
anymore.
Nobody does that.
And Tyler does not care. Like, there's a couple times where, like, Tyler fails or he flubs a line, and he'll just keep going. And I'm like, oh, that's probably the traditionalist. And be like, oh, man, that I remember when that used to be a thing.
Yeah, exactly. No, maybe you're right. Maybe that may be his admiration for the sort of, like, the rules of engagement, basically, outweighed his shock at the kind of, like, what exactly is being said here. Maybe.
I'm giving him a lot of credit, though.
Flex or Tyler?
Flex.
for sort of like riding with it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe he was just like, I don't even know what to do. I don't know what to do with this.
Do you think Flex had heard of Grindr prior to this?
No.
Never.
No. Never.
Oh, come on. You don't think he's heard of Grindr?
Flex might have never even heard of Tinder.
Let's talk about his dating.
I'm coming home.
That was one of the things where I was just like, What's his dating life like? Because, like, he's almost just like, he's like, I've been divorced, but also, like, Maria.
No, he's been dating. I mean, if my study of Flex's social media presence is accurate, which may not be, he has had a partner, Maria, for many years subsequent to his divorce. I think he basically got out of one relationship and went in another relationship, but I think he's trying to not be married, basically, because marriage did not do well by him. That's my sense. I could be wrong. Again, if you're listening, Flex, you can feel free to correct me at podcast.nylytimes.com. Do you think they have spoken since?
Who, him and Tyler?
Yeah.
He sent up an emoji, of course.
Which emoji? A vroom vroom emoji?
Man, which emoji do you think Flex would send Tyler?
What would Flex send Tyler? Ooh, Does he even use emojis?
No, I don't get the sense that he does.
I would say he probably has bit emoji. Like, he probably is like a little... like the one you're like, Uncle sent you. I love you, Uncle. Sorry.
Yo, my mom uses Bitmoji. Like, shout out to my mom. Like, that's like, it's, I like, my mom definitely, like, adopted Bitmoji extremely early.
Yeah.
Like, she was just on it. And I was like, what is this? Like, I don't even, where do I even find these? How can I, anyway, shout out to my mom. Okay, so let's play the first part of Tyler's freestyle. And keep in mind, like, Tyler is rapping and he's stopping and starting. And it's not a bug. It's a feature. Like, yeah. Just keep that in mind as you're listening. Like, this is not a bug. This is a feature. So here's Tyler rapping definitely to Flex.
Okay, I'm freestyling. I said, free Rakim, free Rakim. I might fly to Sweden to free him. Braid my wig ASAP, tat on my ribs, switch with him. Then I could fuck all the sweet men that I wanna. Actually, I'm gonna heat it up real quick, motherfucker. I'm LeBron. Listen, Flex, we just met, but I know it don't seem like all Kelly wet dreams. I always keep 16s, nigga. Me and Flex looking in the index for buff net nudes, just for some hot butt sex.
What? What made you go with that verse?
I don't.
What made you with that verse?
I got.
So okay. So you, maybe they've spoken. Maybe they. You think Tyler's gonna go to the car show?
Definitely.
I hope so.
You think Flex is really gonna open up for Tyler at the Garden?
That's not happening.
I bet it. First
that
of all,
would happen.
Okay, can we all agree that we will go to the Tyler at the Garden show early to see if Flex is there?
If Flex opened, I would go.
Yeah, like we'll be there at like 7 o'clock.
Nothing is more entertaining than watching him perform for an audience. Yeah. I've seen him at Summer Jam. I've seen him at Pusha T. I've seen him a few other places. Just watching him fail in real time.
Yeah, it's great. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Okay, so we're going to go. So we'll go. We'll watch him open, and then we'll go get hot dogs when whatever opening acts are playing, like when Gold Link is playing.
Mr. Chow's, as Flex said.
Yeah.
We're going to Mr. Chow.
And then we'll come back and watch Tyler. I've been thinking a lot in the last few days about what this might mean for Flex over the next year or so, or next 2 years, and also for Tyler, although I think for Flex it maybe did more to kind of like unmoor him from his normal bearings. Do you think that the long tail of this interview will have any kind of actual effect on the arcs of their careers?
For some reason, I don't think Flex is still, after that interview, I don't think he's still able to tap into that Funk Flex character.
Mm-hmm.
I still think he's not fully aware of what happened in that interview or what made it go viral.
Yeah.
Artists might come there now to try to capture that. I don't know if Flex will understand what's going on like he should.
if he did understand it, I think the beauty is it would make it bad. Like, I don't think you can replicate that because part of that is Flex, his ignorance about his subject, turning into a strength. And I don't know if he will ever, if that will ever happen again or if he can capitalize on it. Like, who would we even want to see Flex interview at this point?
Not even about him interviewing, but I wonder if him potentially understanding Flex, like the Flex versus Metaflex, like the character of Flex, even having like a notional awareness of that, is that going to be impactful at all in his future? Like we said, we kind of see him back away from the Flex character a little bit with Tyler, makes it plain that it's a character. I don't know. I haven't listened to the radio over the last 3 or 4 days, so I don't know if that's where Flex's head's at. Or do you think Flex just like went right back on autopilot on like Thursday night or Friday night or Monday or tonight?
No, I think he did, because I don't think Flex even wants to be known as that character, even if he is aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be known as, I'm Funk Flex. I break records. I'm the nightclub DJ. I'm the greatest DJ that's ever lived, and that's who I am. And he doesn't want to be like this person that even though he does want to go viral on the internet. He does care about the internet in some way. You know, we were talking about his website before. He was the first person to use the internet.
First person with an email address.
Yes.
But, do we want Metaflex, though? Like, I feel like part of, like, the joy is, like, is checking in on Flex every couple years. And, like, you're reminded, like, oh, yeah, he's still kicking around. He's still doing he's still doing weird stuff. Like, there's nothing, I will say, there's nothing more beautiful than sometimes being stuck in like an Uber and you're like, Flex is on and he's still dropping bombs.
Yeah.
And he's still talking about absolutely nothing.
Yes. Also, there was a moment, I was tweeting about this last week, where like I was in the car and like Flex was like, shout out all the Uber drivers.
He does that every
night.
Shout out
all the Lyft drivers.
every night.
I was just like, I was thinking similarly of being in cars that Ubers that were playing. I mean, I drive generally. I am my own Uber driver. But when I'm stuck in an Uber late at night, and I'm excited when they have Hot 97 on, because it is kind of like a kind of like perma soundtrack for New York at night. It's like always on.
It makes songs sound better. I will give Flex that. Like, Flex is like, if Flex plays a song, he's dropping bombs on it. He's reversing it. He's just talking like smack over it. I'm like, all right, I still see, like, you still have it. Like, you still, like, in this small space, like, I'm not going to listen to you in my free time, but if we turn this on, like, for 5 minutes, I'm like, all right, I see why they haven't kicked him out.
Like, when he's talking over the newest Casanova song, you're like, oh, yeah, I see it.
Hey!
He can make me listen to Casanova. I'm not Casanova.
That's true. If a Casanova raps in a Brooklyn and Flex isn't there to drop a bomb on it, it doesn't make any noise. And what about for Tyler? Because, again, look, when I think about what Tyler's been doing over the last couple of years, kind of inching towards a new kind of self-presentation in his music and potentially in his public life, this felt like an actual market step. It's not like, oh, I dropped a line in a song and maybe you got it or maybe you didn't get it. There's even sort of a line early in the interview where he was talking about why he doesn't hang out with rappers. And he's like, well, you know, like what I do in my extracurricular, like a lot of people aren't into. And I feel like he's like maybe alluding to things in his personal life. I don't know. It was sort of I couldn't quite tell. Maybe it was going that way. But do you think this is like a step toward a more bold public presentation from Tyler?
I feel like it could be. I know to me personally, it made, like, I'm not the biggest Tyler guy. Mm-hmm. I kind of think he's just like in a character all the time, which he somewhat is.
Mm-hmm.
It somewhat made him more endearing in a way. To just see him interact with Flex that way and just the genuine joy between them.
Yeah.
And it almost feels like there is something more to Tyler that he can almost tap into.
My favorite part of the interview for Tyler was, for a minute, he kind of broke down talking about his regrets, kind of talking about he's lonely. And I was like, oh, that's you not being like your classic Tyler self, thinking, you know, you're God's gift to like Tumblr.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if he taps into that side, that's a human, I think honestly he'd make better music. Because even though his music has gotten technically better, I still don't know anything really about Tyler. I know he likes cars. I know that potentially he likes white boys. And that's about it. And I'm just like, yo, if he can find that Tyler in his musical, I mean, that Flex in his musical life, I think he would make something that could land on the radio.
Yeah, and that's truly as, like, Tyler could be, and as he says, like, a bunch of times he's random. There's still something, like, self-serious about Tyler and the way he, like, approaches his music and takes his music as, like, high art. I guess it's in that, like, I'm the next Pharrell. I'm making these records that are going to change the world, as he thinks in his head. But just seeing him in that, like, light manner is just something we don't see from him all the time anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of what made him endear to me.
Yeah, definitely. The fact that he wasn't so self-serious, the fact that he's just, like, talking about hobbies with another guy, I'm like, yeah. Oh, man, could you just have this?
That's a show. I'd watch those conversations forever.
I would just love, like, I would listen to an album of him just being that endearing.
Absolutely.
And just freestyling and yeah. not having such a, like, I need to make my...
Yeah, like my French jazz library soundtrack music. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, bust out my chords.
Yes. I see color chords. All right, let's go out with the bit from the interview where Tyler realizes that they're going to be best friends and Flex says they're going
to
break the internet.
I'm going to send that to you. You're going to like it.
Who would have thought we would be besties?
We're besties
this
now.
This is crazy. Me and this are besties. I did not wake up this morning.
Yo,
like,
wait. Who would ever thought this piece of this piece of Flex would be a bestie? That's what he wants to say. He wants to say.
I can't wait to go home and be like, Lino. Lino's my homie. Like, okay, that's my friend. Flex is. Oh, we have to invite him to my mom's Christmas party. He cool as he don't even stink. He cool. Like.
He's not up here sweaty and musty, because that's what I thought he was going to be.
That is our show. Thanks to Al Pierre. Thanks to Charles Holmes for being here. And thanks to you for listening to an interview about an interview. You can listen to every podcast ever at nytimes.com/podcast. Subscribe to the podcast anywhere you get your audio content, from the podcast app, etc. And email us. I feel like I would like to hear more people. I got a lot of tweets and Twitter comments and Instagram comments, but I'd like to hear from people who have watched the interview and what they took away from it that maybe we didn't touch on at podcast@nytimes.com. Our producer is Pedro Rosado from Headstepper Media, and we will be back next week.
What you gonna do? Be like your DM and slide them. Flexing emoji.
No, there was no emoji. I ain't sending emoji. Wait a minute.
Now, Flex, why are you lying? Why are you trying to play me like Change and 50 Cent when he was dying, trying just to get it? I spit it, I read it, it, and did it. You in it, is it? Mwah, I kiss it, nigga. Scooby Dooby, Ooby the Looby. Me and Flex was cuddled up watching Scooby Doo eating Scooby snacks. He said he wanted my boobies. I said,